Mahomes in the shotgun. Fakes it to Edwards-Helaire. Sprints to the right side. He's throwing it long. Throwing it long. He's got Tyreek Hill over the shoulder. Touchdown, Kansas City. And the Chiefs burn the Dolphins deep. And for Tyreek Hill, now has tied a Chiefs record that has stood since 1986 with 21 touchdowns in consecutive seasons receiving. They took advantage of the injury to the safety. Matt Hawk, the Des Moines native, punts it away. Left-footed punter taken by Hardman. First time he's going to return today.
Oh.
And he's got an edge at the 40, 45. Hardman in midfield, 45, 40. Two blocks, 30, 25. Jet fuel, 15, 10, 5. Get your boarding pass. The Jet is taking you to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Punt return for a touchdown. The first in the career of Mecole Hardman to go with his kickoff returns for touchdowns.
And the Chiefs win over the Dolphins 33-27. Chiefs scoring 14 points in 62 seconds right there. Hill, the 44-yard touchdown reception, made it 21-10. Mecole Hardman, 67-yard punt return, made it 28-10. And then the Chiefs, once again, don't deliver the knockout punch, but then eventually close the game because that's just what they do. More on that coming up in a moment. But first, we turn to Dusty for local sports, a recap from what took place over the weekend with high school basketball, wrestling, and more.
Yeah, the Amos Morris Classic Finals took place over the weekend. But first, on Friday night, the Phillipsburg girls ended into the championship game as they ended a 138-game winning streak for the Central Plains Lady Oilers. So the longest winning streak in girls' state or in-state history goes by the wayside with Phillipsburg winning on Friday night. They went into the championship match, played St. John's Tipton in the championship, and Phillipsburg winning that game 56-24. Dominant performance for Phillipsburg. Lauren Dubert had 13 points for St. John's Tipton in that loss, the first one of the season for the Letty Jays. So again, Central Plains girls' 138-game winning streak coming to a close as well. The boys' championship game on Saturday, Ellsworth over Ulysses, 53-48. Other local notes from the Morris Classic, fifth place girls, Smith Center over Russell, 59-48. Phillipsburg boys beat St. John's Tipton, 62-32 in the fifth place game as Dalton Schmidt had 12 for the Blue Jays. And then seventh place boys' game, Smith Center falls for the second time this year to Plainville, 60-43. Plainville gets the win. Other games on Saturday on the girls' side, it was Osborne over Stockton, 71-52. Trinity Looters, 18. Gracie Reiner, 13. Taylor Ellison, 12. And Callie Walters had 11 for Osborne. Four in double figures in that win as they're 3-0. And the Stockton boys beat Osborne, 53-43. High school wrestling over the weekend. Smith Center competing at the Manhattan Duel Tournament as Smith Center goes 0-3 in the duel matches. Losing to Shawnee Heights 62-12, Manhattan 54-27, and lost to Paola 45-30. You can find all the results for the Smith Center wrestlers at ncksports.com. Also, the Jeff Giles Memorial Tournament held over the weekend. Concordia won the team championship with 158 points. Sage and Kimley at 113, Kobe Tyler at 120, Hunter Schrader at 182, and Dalton Owen at 285. All won individual championships for Smith Center. And again, as reported over the weekend, Beloit won the Ellis Railer Round Robin on Friday. Gold medal winners were Mason Fuller at 132, Braden Burks at 195, Cameron Conkle at 220 pounds for Beloit, and also Treyberry Intel of Lincoln, Sylvan Lucas took first place at 285 pounds. So let's look at what happened in wrestling over the weekend. Again, the full results are at ncksports.com. You can find all the latest in local sports there at the website. And also, a reminder to everybody, high school basketball coming on your way tomorrow night on KD Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. It's an hour earlier start than originally scheduled in, on Z96.3. So we'll have pregame coverage beginning at 4:50 and tip-off at 5 o'clock. St. John's tipped in at Rock Hill is in Northern Plains League action. Girls game starting at 5. The boys game to follow there on Z96.3 and KDCountry94.com. And then on KD Country 94, online video stream at ncksports.com with the Blair Trojan channel. Trojans opening out their season as they're hosting, or at, excuse me, at Republic County, coming up tomorrow night in Belleville on KD Country 94. And again on the web stream and also online at KDCountry94.com audio stream. High school basketball tomorrow night.
You didn't mention the winning streak that was snapped, did you?
I did, yeah. That was the first thing I did.
All right. 138-game winning streak snap for Central Plains girls basketball, which would have been and should have been 140 if COVID didn't happen. They would have won the state championship last year. There's no doubt
about that.
They would have had two more wins, and that number should have been at 140. But it is what it is. And of all the teams that did not win a state title last year that were in the semifinals last year, the only one that could truly fully argue that just give us the trophy, we're going to win it anyway, would be the Central Plains girls. And by the way, Emily Ryan is a freshman and starts at Iowa State right now. Big 12 basketball, she's a starter as a freshman. So, yeah. So Phillipsburg wins, and Phillipsburg, of course, made state last year, and the sides girl is the real deal, sophomore point guard, who was terrific last year. And so it doesn't surprise me that Phillipsburg won and snapped that winning streak. I had somebody trying to tell me there was another team that was going to snap it beforehand, and I was like, no. No, and I thought this is the team that had the best chance at this tournament. Although I don't know if I would have bet. I wouldn't bet against a team that's won 138 games in a row. But I wasn't totally shocked because Phillipsburg has a lot coming back, led by the sides girls. Central Plains lost, obviously, talent, and they're still going to be really good, don't get me wrong. But every streak must come to an end, and 138-game winning streak is now over, which is pretty amazing stuff.
It is. I was the same way. I felt like there was a fairly good chance on Friday night that it could happen, and there it was.
There it was. And Phillipsburg is the one to snap the streak that'll live for eternity, no doubt. The third longest high school girls winning streak in the country.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, 138. All right, the Chiefs have a streak of their own, and that is they've won five straight AFC West divisional championships. They win yesterday over the Dolphins 33-27, despite four turnovers and three interceptions by Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs, they win their fifth straight by one possession, a total of 21 points over those 5 weeks. They improved to 12-1 for the first time in franchise history. Since 2010, quarterbacks who have thrown exactly three interceptions in a road game, you know what their winning percentage was? Since 2010, quarterbacks who threw exactly three interceptions in a road game, the winning percentage for that team that had thrown the three interceptions by their starting quarterback is?
I'm going to say 15%.
11%.
11%.
But that's what the Chiefs do, man. They haven't even played a great game this year, really. I think fully from start to finish. And I'm okay with that. You know, save it for the playoffs. That works for me. Patrick Mahomes is 25 years of age, and yes, he threw three picks yesterday. He also threw for 393 yards, 24, 34, and two touchdowns, but he doesn't get rattled when he throws picks. He just doesn't. Was he angry and upset internally? Yeah. He's beaten every team in the AFC except the Chiefs, of course, because he plays for the Chiefs. He's beaten every team in the AFC, and he's just his 30 years of starter. That's pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Kelce, eight catches, 136 yards, and a touchdown. The Chiefs win the ball game. Let's get Andy Reid's thoughts on the win, as the Chiefs are now 12-1.
Glad to get the win and get out of here. Good football team. Brian's done a nice job with it, and players played hard and so on. Special teams, I thought, did a nice job today. Their special teams are one of the top in the NFL, and I thought our guys came out and really did well. And then Bucker finished up with a big field goal there. I thought the pressure on the quarterback was good. I thought the defensive line did some nice things with the run game and the pass game part of it. Really, until that fourth quarter, we had a pretty good thing going. And then we've got to finish. You know, we got to finish on both sides of the ball. Make sure we take care of business there. Had a lot of yards, but we've got to take care of the ball. Too many turnovers, and can't do that against good football teams. And so I appreciated the effort the guys gave us, and I just thought that they fared down and did a nice job with it to finish it off in that fourth quarter.
Chiefs finish it off to get the win 33-27. Some observations about this game. First of all, I think teams are learning to get their hands up because they can't get the Mahomes. Get your hands up, somehow deflect the ball. We saw Shelby Harris and the Broncos do that multiple times, and it's just a matter of time. When you deflect the pass, you're going to get an interception. It's going to happen. And we saw that not once but twice in the first quarter yesterday as the Dolphins. The first pass by Mahomes, that was a bad decision. Tried to force a screen pass to Travis Kelce. It wasn't there. That was a bad decision. The second one, he just threw behind the guy, making a play that he makes 9 times out of 10. That, you know, wasn't a good throw. His third one was not a bad throw, just a heck of a play by Xavier Howard, a one-handed interception. I mean, Mahomes throws it 3 inches higher, I guess. If you have a taller receiver, he throws it higher because that's Tyreek that he's trying to throw it to. I don't have a problem with that. And for all the people that criticize Andy Reid, well, Andy Reid's conservative. He doesn't try to go for the kill shot. It was 30-10 when they went for that touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then it got picked off. And then I saw people going, we should have just taken a field goal. You can't have it both ways. You can't. Okay? That's how easy and convenient is it for you to sit on a couch with your Funyuns and sit here and go, Andy Reid, oh, he's too conservative. Oh, hey, we're going for the end zone. Oh, I threw a pick. Well, I told you should have just sat on it and kicked the field goal and go up 23. Come on. That's not how you have to at least put yourself in the shoes of a coach, understand that he went for the jugular, and it was a great, it wasn't a bad throw, really. It was just a great play by an all-pro corner. But that did change the game, no doubt. All of a sudden, Miami had some momentum, and quite honestly, that's where the defense started to just fall apart, to be quite honest with you. And the Dolphins are missing a whole bunch of guys. But more batted balls at the line of scrimmage. More teams are getting their hands up against Mahomes. The Chiefs are down 10-0. Do you think any Chiefs fans were freaking out being down 10-0? I know I wasn't.
No.
Because the Chiefs get down 10-0, get down 10, 24 in the playoffs, 10 in Miami against the Niners in the Super Bowl, and that was a return trip to Miami yesterday. The Chiefs don't worry about it. I mean, the Chiefs, the first drive were going right down the field, and they were going to score, and then all of a sudden, boom, the screen pass is batted up, and that changed everything right off the bat. I mean, the Chiefs looked sharp right off the bat. I thought they would. They did. You know, once again, they failed to deliver the knockout punch. More on that in a moment. But they were able to close the game in the final 4 minutes. And that's what Mahomes and this team has done. More often than not, the offense can run out the clock or get the field goal or the touchdown against the Raiders to win the game. And then the Broncos, they got a field goal and milked the clock to about 40 seconds left. And then the defense did it at the end. So more often than not, the Chiefs' offense closes things. We saw it in the playoffs last year. We're seeing it this year. Chris Jones had a big safety. That was important in this game. Chris Jones made some plays yesterday. I was feeling good about that. Frank Clark got a sack right before halftime. That was a big sack because Miami was driving near midfield. They maybe getting field goal range. They have a kicker can hit it, can hit, you know, 50 to 60 yard field goals. So that was important. You heard Tyreek Hill's deep catch, the 44 yard touchdown to make it 21-10, and then after a three and out, give credit to the defense. Hardman with the punt return made it 28-10. And then the Chiefs, and this seems to happen. It happening against Tampa Bay. It's happening against other teams this year. When the Chiefs have a chance to absolutely just annihilate somebody, something either weird happens or they do something silly. And Mecole Hardman catches, makes a catch, turns on the Jets, and it looks like he's trying to go out of bounds, and the ball's punched out from behind, which was a great defensive play. And Miami recovers it inside their own 10. Now, the Chiefs are going to go in and score there, and it's 35-10. Just like we talked about how if they don't have the strip sack fumble against Tampa Bay, that game's over right then and there. Or if you hit a wide-open Mecole Hardman, that's a 90-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes starts for 550, and the Chiefs blow out the Brady and the Buccaneers. That little play here and there is the difference between blowing out a team or letting them hang around. And yesterday, Hardman's fumble kept Miami in it. And I know Chris Jones got a safety after that, but the Chiefs gave up 5 points there. They gave up 5 points. So it was 30-10 at that point. And then, of course, you're going for the jugular. You go for Hill for the touchdown. It'd make it 37-10. You're in field goal range. A great defensive play, but you leave 3 points on the field there. So it would have been 33-10 if you conservative and kicked the field goal. Here's another issue for the Chiefs. I don't know why Nick Kizer's on the field. Every time he's on there, something bad happens. Maybe that's unfair to the guy, the tight end for the Chiefs. The Chiefs are up 30-17. Okay, Dolphins score. And you're like, all right, the Chiefs will just go. And Tony Romo said it. Chiefs will probably take a shot here. It's third down and one, which, you know, the Chiefs aren't great on third down and one this year. We know that. But they are really good on third down.
Mm-hmm.
Third down and one, got all kinds of options, and Nick Kizer has a false start. Just a brain fart. That's what it was. He knew it. It moved, and he just froze. Like, yeah. Dude, just keep on moving. Can you make it more obvious? Did you want the penalty? Well, I mean, and then he gets pulled out of the game, and rightfully so. So now it's third and six. Now, can the Chiefs convert third and six? Of course they can. But third and one and third and six are different animals. And, of course, they don't get it, so they punt. So there's a big mistake. If you do this in the playoffs, it can come back to bite you. And then I thought the defense got a little bit gassed. But here's the thing. The Dolphins were without their top two running backs, their top two wide receivers, their best tight end got hurt before that last drive they had.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dolphins were shorthanded. They had three rookies on the offensive line. Tua still made some plays, but the Chiefs let them stay in it like they typically do with teams. They don't deliver that kill shot till the final 4 minutes. And then I will say this, though. We've asked and we've talked about how Andy Reid, please don't be conservative. Trust number 15 to make plays. Yesterday he did it again. Andy Reid has full trust in Mahomes, even though he threw three interceptions yesterday. Fourth down and one. You have a chance to close the game. A lot of coaches would have punted that ball and hoped their defense would have stopped Tua and the Dolphins and then probably would have lost 31-30. Or what some coaches would have done. They would have gone back out. They would have run the play clock down. They would have tried to make Miami draw offsides. Then they would have taken the five-yard delay game and punted the ball, and it would have gained you all of about 20, 25 yards. And Dolphins still would have had plenty of time to go down and score. And the way the Chiefs defense was playing there in the fourth, I thought they were gassed. And I think the Dolphins would have went down and scored and won the game. And I think Andy Reid understood for once that, listen, I've got Patrick Mahomes. It's fourth and one. Everybody wants to go for it. Mahomes wants to go for it. I'm going to keep it in his hands because I took it out of his hands on third and one. And I gave it to Hilaire, and it didn't work because the Chiefs aren't good at running ball on third and one. We know that. That's why they go to trickery, third and goal, second goal at the one-yard line against the Bucs and against Denver and other teams. But it also said that I understand my defense isn't playing well right now. It played well in the first half. Not playing well right now. Damian Wilson was out, starting linebacker. Tyrann Mathieu was 100% with a hip injury. So Ward was out and then came back in with a possible concussion. It made total sense you go for it. And I was like, even if you don't get it, it doesn't make a big difference with the way the defense is playing right now. Whether you make them go 61 yards or you make them go 81, it really doesn't make a big difference, I didn't think. And they run a pass play. They're in the shotgun, and boom, there's Hill wide open. And so there's the good part of that play. Great job. Get the first down. You go for it. You don't hesitate. You let the play clock run down. You let your clock run down. You milk the clock. You call a timeout. You figure out the play you want. You run the play. You execute it. And then Tyreek Hill goes out of bounds. Now, when I first saw it, I was like, okay, I understand. He has momentum going this way. He thought maybe he could, you know, turn on the jets and go down the sideline and score, and that, you know, seals the game. But I watched the replay, and I was like, dude, you got to come back in bounds and go down in play. I'm going to tell you how bad of a play that was by Tyreek Hill, and a lot of people have overlooked this today. Nobody's really talking about it. But if you make this mistake in the playoffs, it could be the difference between you repeating as Super Bowl champions and losing. There was 2:26 on the clock when Hill caught the pass. The Dolphins had no timeouts. Hill then proceeds to go out of bounds. So thus, the Chiefs have to run a play before the two-minute warning. Yeah. It was a first down that Tyreek had, okay? If Tyreek Hill stays in bounds, the clock goes to the two-minute warning. The Chiefs don't have to snap it. They have first down and 10. They can take three knees. The game's over. They don't even have to kick a field goal, and they don't have to give the ball back to Miami. It's over.
Yes.
If Tyreek Hill just falls in bounds, that game is over. But he runs out of bounds. You can't make that mistake in the playoffs. You just cannot do it. They got away with it. I'll give you another mistake that the Chiefs made. So they make everything, they do everything right on fourth down and one. They make the play, but then Hill goes out of bounds, which was a big mistake. But they got away with it. And then they run a toss play. When you're in good, solid field goal range, you lose like 6 yards. Now you make it a 46-yard field goal. And luckily, you got a really good kicker, and Butker drilled it. All right, so you're up 33-24. And there was, what, a minute left, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so
over a minute,
the Dolphins have no timeouts. Dolphins go right down the field, getting field goal range. They've got a great kicker. They kick the field goal with 16 seconds left. And that was smart, because I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Then they have a chance at an onside kick. They recover it. Then maybe they got a Hail Mary or two. And they might beat the Chiefs because now they're down 6. And by the way, the field goal by Miami at the end covered the spread.
Yeah.
You don't think Vegas knows something? So here's another one. There are two guys that make me want to pull my hair out when I watch the Chiefs play. And one is Nick Kizer, who I already talked about. He's made one catch all year long. I've seen one positive play out of him all year. I'm sure he's blocked well in other plays. DeMarcus Robinson, I am about ready to throw something through my television set. First of all, when he catches the ball, he holds it like a loaf of bread. He looks like LeSean McCoy, except even worse. And yesterday, he caught it, and then, you know, he tends to go backwards initially, which I don't understand.
There's this little circle loop every time he catches the ball, and I'm like, well, go upfield, man.
But here's the thing. You have an onside kick. Onside kick. You catch the ball. You go down!
Yeah, just fall
down. You just fall down, man! I know Dave Tobe has told you that. Instead, he thinks he's going to return it for a touchdown.
Yeah,
he starts to run, and you know how good he is in ball security. He starts to run for about 2 seconds, and then finally, luckily, gracefully, thank God nobody jarred the ball free or ripped it away, he went down. Dude, as soon as you catch that ball, you go down, you cover it like it's a baby. It's your own baby. Treat it like a baby. Treat it like your child.
Probably out there because your hands, not
not because
run.
You're supposed to. You're not. Dude, we have the lead. We don't need any more points. And I'm like, what is he doing? And nobody on the television broadcast pointed that out. But I did see people on social media point that out.
Yeah, I thought it right away. I'm like, dude, just what are you doing? Go down. This game's over.
So I'm going to tell you, after the Chiefs won yesterday, I have a few concerns. One, you know, the mistake of the false start by Kaiser, and I know that's just one mistake. You know, the Tyreek Hill not knowing the situation. I mean, you got to go inbounds. You got to fall down inbounds. That's a big mistake. I mean, that allowed the Dolphins to have a drive and an onside kick.
Yeah.
You don't have to sweat Butker's 46-yarder. You take the victory formation for three knees, first down and 10 inside the two-minute warning. That was a horrible decision. And Darmarcus Robinson, what are you doing trying to field the onside kick and then run with it? Because to me, that's selfishness. And that's what you don't want on this team. We hear so much about the Chiefs are a very unselfish team. It's all about the common goal. That didn't look like it to me with Darmarcus Robinson yesterday. No. So I don't know what he was doing. So did the Chiefs make mistakes? Yeah, they're so good that they can overcome mistakes. It doesn't happen very often that you're negative three in the turnover category and win the game, and you're up 20. But that's what happened yesterday. Mahomes proved that he is, you know, human. So we heard from Andy Reid, his thoughts on the hard-fought win. What about Mahomes and the interceptions in that first quarter?
Obviously, you get angry. You don't want to turn the ball over and put your defense in that situation. At the same time, I have the ultimate confidence in the guys around me that we're going to keep battling and find ways to win football games. And kind of like I said, our defense kept us in the game. They kept getting stops whenever they were just on the field. It seemed like the entire first quarter. And then all of a sudden, we were leading at halftime. And I feel like this team plays better when their back's up against the wall, and that's a good thing to have about a football team.
What about the message from Andy Reid to his quarterback after the interceptions?
I don't want him to affect him. I want him to keep firing. So just learn from it and let's go. If it was that, or was it a receiver, or was it whatever it was, let's just learn, all of us. Let's learn from it and let's not let it happen again.
Yeah, that's the way you have to feel about a guy that's still on the season, has 33 touchdown passes and just 5 interceptions. I mean, he's so god-awful yesterday, but threw for almost 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, and calmly makes the plays, and he is a closer. He is like Mariano Rivera. He reminds me of it's not even fair to – Mahomes is one of a kind. There's no need to compare him to anything.
No.
He's a combination of a whole bunch. But I'll tell you, his moxie and his poise reminds me of Joe Montana. That poise that he has reminds me of Joe Montana. I mean, when the ball was in Montana's hands late in games, odds are it was over. It just was. He was going to make a throw. He was going to make a play as long as he was healthy and not knocked out of the game. And Mahomes just has this – knack. And the other thing about Mahomes, and this is what's so great about him, is just so even-keeled. I mean, internally, he was probably ticked off. He threw 2 picks in the first quarter. But he doesn't let that frustration show. And that's why Lamar Jackson shouldn't ever be mentioned in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes ever again, unless Lamar finally wins the Super Bowl. Because Lamar Jackson doesn't do that. And people see that. Guys that are cool under fire are typically the most respected. And I'll share this story again. Joe Montana gets the football for the San Francisco 49ers in 19, I think it was 89, in the Super Bowl against the Bengals, and I believe that was in Miami. And they're down 16-13, and he goes in a huddle, and the season's on the line, and they need a field goal to tie and a touchdown to win. And this is the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. And Randy Cross has told this story, the center for the San Francisco 49ers. Joe Montana comes in the huddle, and everybody's just kind of stressing, like, oh, my God, we got to go down and score on this drive or we lose the Super Bowl. And the Bengals had just scored a touchdown with Boomer Esiason. And Montana goes, hey, you see John Candy's here? Joe Montana comes into the huddle when the season and the championship is on the line. And all these guys are, you know, they're puckered up. They're like, oh, my God, we got to make a draw. We got to score. Joe Montana comes out and goes, hey, you see John Candy over here? If you don't know who John Candy is, actor, comedian, very funny guy, plane, trains,
very popular
and automobiles.
At that point in time.
He just says, hey, did you see who's here? You see in the third row, it's John Candy. They look over, sure as heck, there's John Candy. Randy Cross turned, and we just giggled. And we're like, dude, Joe Montana's the coolest dude on earth, and we're going to win this game. Because he loosened them up.
Yeah.
He has this certain aura and this poise, and that's what Mahomes has. He has a certain aura at age of 25, and he did it last year at the age of 24, the poise not to get rattled. This kid just doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get rattled. They can throw blitzes at him. He'll burn you with that. You picked him off three times. Oh, he's going to go into a corner and cry. No, he's not. He's not going to do Lamar Jackson and throw the helmet on the sideline like he did in the playoff game and the loss to the Titans last year, Lamar Jackson. Mahomes isn't going to do that. And if you ever see Mahomes do that, then you start to be concerned because that means Mahomes has got some other things probably happening in his life perhaps. Once he has his fiance has a baby, he doesn't get any sleep, maybe we'll see him start chucking that helmet on the sideline. I don't know. But you keep firing. That's what Andy Reid said. You keep firing. How about Mahomes on this team being -3 in the turnover category, still winning on the road against a possible playoff team, and at one point leading by 20?
It says a lot about this football team in general. It talks about how it's not just an offense, it's not just a defense, it's not just special teams. We're a complete football team that just finds ways to win in every single way. And you saw in that first half, I mean, it's 80-something degrees outside, and I'm putting the defense back on the field over and over again, and they're finding ways to get stops and keeping us in that ball game so the offense can get going. And so it just shows that we have a veteran group of guys that really understand that we just have to make sure that we keep each other accountable and keep playing for the guy next to you, and we can find ways to win football games.
So the Chiefs win their fifth straight AFC title. What does Reed think about that?
They don't give those away. So they give the hats away, but they don't give these championships away. So I'm proud of the guys for that. We all know that we need to keep going. So it's a nice accomplishment by the whole organization. I mean, this just isn't one person or anything else. I mean, this is a whole organization from the Hunt family down to Mark Donovan and Brett Veach. I mean, everybody's had a piece of this. So, and we all know that we got to keep going and keep improving. So that'll be the goal going forward.
Mahomes doesn't take these division titles for granted either.
I've been lucky enough to be brought into an organization that's been able to win the AFC West every year I've been here, but I still appreciate it every single time. I mean, these things don't come easy. You have to battle every single offseason. You have to battle every training camp. During the season, you go through adversity. So you have to really appreciate winning the AFC West. We'll enjoy it probably for the flight over back to Kansas City, and then we get to play the New Orleans Saints next week, who's a great football team. And so we'll have to move on fast and continue to go out there and just compete and find ways to get better going into the playoffs.
So a lot of people on social media yesterday when the Chiefs are down 10-0 threw a couple picks. Like, yeah, last time Mahomes was in Miami, he threw two interceptions and they were down double digits, and that worked out pretty well. It sure did. I mean, the Chiefs scored 28 unanswered, led by 20 before the pick by Mahomes on the great play by Xavien Howard. Mahomes says there's this love-hate relationship with Miami.
The love part, I mean, we've won the Super Bowl here, and we've just clinched the AFC West, and so it seems like every time we leave the stadium, we have a hat of some type of thing we've accomplished. But then the hate part, I feel like I have half my interceptions, it seems like, at this stadium. So, obviously, a little bit of a joke. I mean, whatever way we win football games, I love it. But at the same time, it was just it's just ironic that it had to be at the stadium.
So I pointed out a few of the little things that the Chiefs did wrong yesterday that could come back and bite them in the playoffs, and I stand by those comments. But also, it should be pointed out, if you want to look at this in a positive light, is that the Chiefs turned the ball over four times. We're -3 in the turnover category and one on the road against a team that could very well make the playoffs. Now, like I said, the Dolphins were shorthanded. They were missing their best linebacker. He was out. And the Dolphins defense is good. But here's the thing. I was thinking about this last night, and after watching how the Saints played against the Eagles, and Jalen Hurts, by the way, I thought what would play well in his opportunity, and I feel great for Jalen Hurts, a class act, who got a chance, and the Eagles look like the 10-2 team who beat the Saints yesterday. And so the Saints now are 10-3, and that's who the Chiefs play next week. But, you know, you've heard this, and let's just go through the thing. You know, at the early part of the year, it's the Chiefs' offense against the big, bad Raven defense. The Raven have the best defense. And the Chiefs went out and just lit them up like a Christmas tree. Then it was, what was the other? Oh, the Bills. Oh, their defense is really good. Look out at the Bills, you know, da-da-da. And the Chiefs just ran it down their throat. And then there was the talk about the Buccaneer defense being so great. And Mahomes had almost 400 yards passing in the first half, and Tyreek Hill had 200 yards receiving. And if not for a strip sack fumble, the Chiefs would have been up 24-0 at halftime. And then there's the Dolphins. Well, they got a great defense, and the Chiefs turn it over in the first two possessions of the game, down 10-0, and yet you look in the third quarter, they're up 30-10.
Yes.
And Mahomes starts for almost 400 yards, and that's a great defense, supposedly, the Dolphins. And then the next defense is the Saints. So supposedly the Saints are a great defense, who yesterday gave up two 100-yard rushers. They lost to a guy in his first start at quarterback who ran for over 100 yards, and they gave up 11 yards per carry in the first half. Now, part of that was Jalen Hurts. What do you think that Saints defense is going to do against the Chiefs? So here's my point. I'm tired of hearing about how teams have a great defense. No team in the NFL has a great defense. No one. And here's why. It's no fault of their own. The league is built to help offenses. I mean, some of the pass interference penalties I see that are called on defensive players, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I truly don't know what you're supposed to do. It's ridiculous. The league, and then you can't hit the quarterback in the helmet. We know that. You can't hit him low below the knees. You got to hit him in the rib cage. And then sometimes you hit him there, and that's leading with your helmet, and you landed on him hard, so that's a penalty. So the league is built for points. So it's perfect time for your favorite team, if you're a Chiefs fan, to have Mahomes, because he's here during the perfect time with the perfect type of system, the perfect coach, the perfect weapons, the perfect offense, okay? Now, the Chiefs' offense has been far from perfect this year, but yet they're still putting up all these numbers. They're the number one offense in the National Football League. When you say great offenses, you can easily say the Chiefs have a great offense. There's no doubt about it. In fact, you probably could say there's three or four teams that have great offenses. But anybody, I don't want to hear this anymore about, well, they're a great defense. The Ravens are a great defense. They couldn't do anything against the Chiefs' defense. Well, the Bills are a great defense. They couldn't stop the run against the Chiefs. Well, the Buccaneers are a great defense. They gave up 400 yards in the first half to the Chiefs. The Dolphins are a great defense. The Dolphins got three turnovers from Mahomes and still gave up 33 points. Now, granted, there was a kick return for a touchdown. I count the safety. I know it's technically defensive points, but they don't get the safety without the Chiefs putting it inside the 10 offensively. Mm-hmm. So I really count that as offensive points. So 26 points from the offense, okay, against the defense supposed to be like lights out. And granted, they were missing a few pieces. I get that. The point is, there's no defense. There is no defense that is going to stop the Chiefs offense for four quarters. The best, I'm going to tell you, the best defense in the league against the Chiefs is the Chiefs themselves. That's it.
Absolutely.
The only way the Chiefs do not win the Super Bowl this year is probably three reasons. One, injuries, which so far they've been very fortunate. Two, lack of focus, making boneheaded plays like yesterday. DeMarcus Robinson thinking to return an onside kick, which is stupid. Nick Kizer having a brain cramp on a third and one. Tyreek Hill running out of bounds when he should have stayed in bounds. Okay, those are the type of things that will get you beat. So the Chiefs are, at times, undisciplined, no question, okay? And a third one would be that they just get a little unlucky. You know, a tip ball, guy drops a pass, this or that. But to me, that comes back to focus if you're dropping passes. So the Chiefs are the team to beat. And look at the NFC. There is nobody in the NFC, I think, that can beat the Chiefs, except maybe the St. Louis, the L.A. Rams. The Rams have a good defense. Not great. They're really good. They got Aaron Donald. And you remember last time the Rams' defense was so great, the Chiefs put up 51 on him. And Mahomes threw three interceptions that game. That was the only other time he threw three picks, and he threw for six touchdowns. And that was a defense that Bob Sutton and the defense was horrendous. And this defense is better, although it has its issues. I don't think Seattle is got enough defensively at all. So I don't think Seattle can win a track meet with the Chiefs. I don't think the Saints can beat the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to beat them this weekend, not after what I saw yesterday. I don't care if it's Drew Brees or Taysom Hill. I think the Chiefs are going to be jacked, ready to go for this game. The Chiefs keep leaving points on the field each and every week. Yesterday they left 8 points on the field, by my account, if not more. And they still win. -3 in the turnover category, left 8 points on the field yesterday and still scored 33. Find a way to score 33. That's plenty. And in order to beat the Chiefs, you have to score 30 or more. I mean, it's pretty much that way. Only one time in Mahomes' career, he has 8 losses in his career. Only one time has he been held, has a team beaten the Chiefs by scoring less than 30 points. Only one time. And that was a Colts game last year when Mahomes was all banged up, and the Colts beat him 19-13. That's the only time it's happened. That's a mirage. So if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you got to score 28, 29, 30, probably 30 or more. What teams can score more than 30? There are teams that score more than 30 against the Chiefs. But the question is, can that team hold the Chiefs to 30 or less? And the answer right now is no. The Broncos held the Chiefs under 30. Yeah, how many did the Broncos score? 16. Broncos can't score 30. I mean, they scored 32 yesterday, but they can't score 30 against the Chiefs. So, and if they do, it's a track meet, and they're not gonna win. They're gonna lose, and that's where Denver had everything going for them and still lost.
Yeah.
So when the Chiefs don't even play well, they win. That concerns me a little bit because I think they can flip that switch, and yesterday they flipped the switch again. 4 minutes to go. Oh, well, let's just go ahead and go get the field goal and seal this thing. And they did. And that's a sign of great teams. I get it. There are times the Bulls did that back in the day. Jordan and the Bulls, they'd flip a switch here and there. You saw it. The Warriors did it.
Absolutely.
The Warriors did it. The Heat did it. Your great teams do it. And the Chiefs are doing it. I hope it doesn't come back to bite them in the playoffs. But I think in the playoffs, they're going to be razor-focused. And the experience of last year will help them as well. And, of course, if they get behind, they don't freak out because they got the best quarterback in the world, and that's Patrick Mahomes, even though he threw 3 interceptions yesterday. So the Chiefs right now are in great shape. And by the way, the Chiefs have the number one seed in AFC because the Steelers, as we predicted, lost to the Bills last night. So the reason that Pittsburgh's number one seed odds dropped so much is because yesterday they lost to AFC team, and the Chiefs now have the common opponent tiebreaker. Okay?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If the Chiefs can actually lose to the Saints or lose to the Falcons, doesn't matter. The Chiefs can beat New Orleans, lose to Atlanta, beat the Chargers, any combination. As long as the Chiefs don't lose to the Chargers and they win one of the next two games against New Orleans and Atlanta, the Chiefs will be 14-2. They'll be the number one seed. The only way the Chiefs can lose the number one seed, really, is to lose 2 of their next 3 games or lose to the Chargers at the end,
yeah,
which would mean Pittsburgh would have the tiebreaker because they have only one conference loss right now.
Assuming Pittsburgh doesn't lose.
Right, and I think Pittsburgh's going to lose again. And I'm going to tell you something. Pittsburgh could easily lose their division. Cleveland's 3 losses. Pittsburgh's 2. I mean, Pittsburgh could easily not even – they might be a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
You got too much – they got to play the Colts yet. They got to play at Cleveland. I think Cleveland will probably lose another one to where Pittsburgh will still win the division, but there's a lot to be sorted out. But, I mean, now the Chiefs are completely in the driver's seat. They can have that game where they just sleepwalk.
Yeah.
And I think it still will be the Falcons because the Saints game, they're going to be up ready to go. And granted, the Saints just lost a game, but there's no rule that says they can't lose 2 in a row.
No.
There will be no fans there, 750 fans, that's it, down from 15,000 because of the new protocols they're put into place there at New Orleans. So you won't have to worry about the fan noise and the fan crowd and everything else. And this defense of the Saints is good but not great. And everybody talked about how great they were. Yeah, they're ranked top 5. That's great. But nobody's – you know what's a great defense now? A great defense used to be hold a team to 14 or less and give up under 300 yards. Now a great defense is give up 450 and hold the other team to under 24.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, if you're defensively, if you can hold a team to 20, 21 points and give up only 400 yards, that's a great day. That's a great day.
Yes.
You know, yesterday the Chiefs held the Dolphins at 367 yards and held them to 27 points. And their offense turned over 4 times. So, I mean, yesterday the Chiefs had 448 yards, 33 points, and had 4 turnovers. Averaged 7
that's
yards
insane.
A play.
I mean, when you
they don't even have a running game either, by the way.
Yeah.
They don't need one.
I mean, when you look at that line that you just said, it's
God help the team they play great against.
It's insane, right? It like, what are we doing here? Turning the That's what we were talking about. It's funny that we were talking about that, though, on Friday, about how you've got to score 31 points is
yes,
the number, right?
You do.
And all of a sudden, even after the Chiefs had 3 turnovers in the first half or whatever.
The Dolphins did nothing with those turnovers.
At the point, whatever, when they had 2 turnovers, actually. All of a sudden, they're up 28-10 after the kicker turn, and then they get 30 on the safety. And I'm like, just like, boom, they're at 30, and it proves true again, right?
Right.
Like, you've got to score 31 here.
Yeah.
Or else you're not going to win the game. I mean, it just happens that fast.
It does.
Even when you're not playing good.
Right.
And it's just insane to me that you can have 4 turnovers
yeah.
and still have all those numbers, 33 points over 400 yards of offense, and just, okay, whatever, we're going to come out of here with a win.
You know, the defense catches heat because they didn't play well in the fourth quarter yesterday. But in fairness to the defense, the Dolphins only had 3 points off of the first 3 turnovers the Chiefs had. And they end up getting 10 points off the 4 turnovers, and that's not good for the Dolphins. That's
no,
not good.
Not
you get
all.
4 turnovers, you should get more than 10 points. That was the opportunity for the Dolphins. Their defense did their job and forced the turnovers, but the Chiefs, on the flip side, their defense did their job, and they, as Patrick Mahomes just mentioned, they minimized the damage to where those turnovers, quite honestly, only one of them really cost them points, and that was a touchback because it was the Xavien Howard unbelievable pick. The two batted balls didn't you know, didn't turn into points for the Dolphins. Did the fumble by Hardman cost the Chiefs 5 points? I believe it did,
yeah.
Although they got the safety. So the defense right away got at least 2 points right back and the ball back, and then the Chiefs offense didn't do anything on that next drive, up 30-10. Yeah. Actually, that was, I think, came back around. They switched ends, and then they threw deep in the end zone and was picked off. But, yeah, I mean, they had 4 turnovers. They didn't play great. They had the mistakes I talked about, running out of bounds, false start on 3rd and 1, losing 7 yards on a toss play, making a longer field goal. Fumbling inside the 10. Still not getting a great pass rush, in my opinion, at all, but they did get more pressure yesterday. And they still win by six, and really we're sitting here going they should have won by 30, even with all the turnovers. Mm-hmm. They could have won by 30. I mean, if Mahomes, if Xavier Howard doesn't pick that ball off, the Chiefs are going to at least be up 33-10, if not 37-10. And that, with that, at that time, they had 3 turnovers before that pick.
At that point, yeah.
So I don't know what you do to beat the Chiefs. I hear this, well, you got a ball control. Well, we've seen that. That doesn't necessarily work. You limit the Chiefs' possessions. Okay, you're playing your odds a little better.
You limit your own possessions, too, because
right. Exactly.
The Chiefs are not a team that has to go score quick either. No. Like, you can come down here, ball control, say that all you want, but the Chiefs can come right back.
Yes, they can.
Take 7 minutes off the clock, and you don't get the ball back either.
Right.
So you've used all your time with the football
exactly.
on one drive.
And the Chiefs' defense, you know, their scoring defense is actually pretty good this year, and that's the number mm-hmm. you should be judged by. The Chiefs do give up some points, but a lot of times they can hold you to a field goal. And that's another sign of a great defense nowadays. You hold teams to 3 instead of 7. That's the difference between a bad and a good defense nowadays.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs' defense is decent. You know, it's not as bad as it once was. Is it great? No. But it doesn't matter if you keep scoring 30 or more every game with your offense.
No.
And remember, they had to score 40 or 50 and still lose games. Now they can score 30 and know they're going to win. So, will the Chiefs lose a game between now and here? I still think they could. I still think they will. But now, as long as it's a loss to either the Saints or the Falcons, all they got to do is go 2-1 and don't lose to the Chargers. Make sure one of those wins is against the Chargers, and you are the number one seed and get the first yeah. round bye, and then you watch the Steelers sweat it out against the 7 seed. So all was well yesterday, even though they didn't play
the Bills
well.
Sweat it out against the 7 seed if the Steelers
well,
lose
the,
again.
Well,
the
Bills could move up. That's
could
right.
Get the, 2 seed.
The Bills could get the 2 seed. You're right about that. Let's go with the scores yesterday. Of course, the Rams won on Thursday Night Football 24-3. Panthers lose to the Broncos 32-27. Drew Locke, a career-high 4 touchdown passes. Bears roll the Texans 36-7. Texans, disappointing year, fired the coach, and the Texans now eliminated from playoff contention. The Cowboys win 30-7 over the Bengals. Packers win over the Lions 31-24. Packers now number one seed in the NFC because they beat the Saints head-to-head. They and the Saints have a 10-3 record. Titans win 31-10 over the Jaguars. Derrick Henry, 215 yards rushing. 4th time in his career he's done that. Only running back that's ever done that in NFL history. Only yes. running back in NFL yeah. history to have 4 200-yard rushing games, Derrick Henry. Chiefs win, of course. They're now 12-1. Cardinals beat the Giants 26-7. Much-needed win there. Hassan Reddick had 5 sacks and 3 forced fumbles over the Cardinal defense. Can we get him on the Chiefs? The Buccaneers beat the Vikings 26-14. Much-needed win for the Bucs. The Colts beat the Raiders in an important game in the AFC 44-27. So the Raiders now in trouble. Lost 3 of the last 4. Seahawks blow out the Jets 40-3. The Jets are 0-13. Chargers in a game between two teams that play well but can't find a way to win. Suddenly somebody had to win yesterday. Chargers do over the Falcons because Matt Ryan threw a bad interception. Field goal at the gun. The win 20-17. The Eagles beat the Saints 24-21. Eagles ran all over the Saints in the first half, led 17-0 at halftime. They look like the 10-2 team. Saints kind of – they were flat. Saints are now 10-3, but they'll be jacked for the Chiefs, no doubt, coming up. Big-time game. Everybody in America is going to see it on CBS or listen to it on Z96.3 Lake on Sunday at 3:25, pregame at 2 o'clock. So the Chiefs get the Saints, who are coming off a loss. Washington football team, Alex Smith had to leave the game with a calf strain, but the Washington football team had 2 defensive touchdowns, beat the Niners 23-15. They lead the NFC East. And then the Sunday night game last night, the Bills were down early, but then came back and won 26-15. And so the Bills now are 10-3. The Steelers are 11-2. So you look at the playoff picture right now. The Chiefs are the 1 seed, would have a first-round bye. Steelers are the 2 seed. The Bills are the 3. The Titans are the 4. The Browns are a 5. The Colts are the 6. And the Dolphins are a 7. But if the Ravens win tonight, I believe the Ravens would jump the Dolphins into that 7th spot. I don't know that for sure, but the Ravens have a much – if the Ravens win tonight, Monday Night Football against the Browns, the Ravens should end up 11-5. They've got 3 fairly easy games after this game against the Browns. So the Dolphins are hanging by a thread for a playoff spot. The reason I say that is the Dolphins still have to go to Buffalo and they still have to play the I think they got to play the Packers, if I remember correctly. I'd have to look at their schedule, but they got a couple of really tough games yet.
Uh-huh.
So the Dolphins, they got to play the Patriots next week, which is not a gimme, that's for sure. So the Dolphins trying to hang on to that seventh spot. And then in NFC, you've got the Packers at one, the Saints two, the Rams are moving up. They're three, Washington four, Seattle five, the Bucks are six, and the Cardinals move up to the seventh spot, and the Cardinals are in a pretty solid spot there in that seventh slot. Of course, the playoffs expanded to seven teams each conference with the number one seed in each conference, the only ones getting first-round bye. So it was a really good day for the Chiefs, even though they didn't play great. One, no major injuries. That's always important. And, oh, by the way, the Steelers lost for the second straight week, and now they have the number one seed despite turning the ball over four times yesterday.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
You got to do it. You got to win however you can, and this team just does it.
Just win, baby, is what Al Davis would say. Just win. Let's turn to college football. Nebraska Cornhuskers now 2-5 on the season. They lose to Minnesota 24-17. Minnesota 3-3. They're playing their first game since November 20th. How about this? And they also had a two-week layoff from practice. Minnesota was without 33 players on their roster going into Memorial Stadium in Lincoln over the weekend, and they still won. Fourth straight losing season for the Nebraska Cornhusker football team. Scott Frost, this roller coaster of a season. They've had their ups, you know, had a win against Penn State, had a nice win against Purdue, but they followed up with a bad loss. They, you know, lost to Illinois right after they beat Penn State at home. Then they lose to Minnesota, as we just said, without 33 players. Here's Scott Frost. Too many mistakes.
I don't think we were flat. I thought the guys were ready to play. We just didn't execute very well. I thought we played well enough defensively to win the game. We didn't execute very well on offense. Certainly didn't catch any breaks, but we got to play better than that. I give them credit. That's a team you have to get ahead of. You're in control of the game, and we came out right away and made a mistake on the first play of the game again. And just too many mistakes and bad things happening to overcome.
Huskers will play Rutgers at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon on the Big Ten Network. Not a great time slot, that's for sure. And they can't even, the parents of the Nebraska players can't even go to the game. Rutgers doesn't allow opposing fans. They can allow parents of their own players, but that's it. So maybe that's a blessing in disguise. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. If Nebraska would have won against Minnesota, then, you know, won the last game, they probably were going to a bowl. Now I don't think anybody's too interested in them. All right, top 25, Alabama rolls Arkansas 52-3. LSU beats Florida 37-34. So I'm watching that game. And the Wilson kid for Florida, they had LSU stopped. They're going to get the ball back. And in a tie game, they're going to get the ball back with probably about a minute and a half to go. And Florida, they moved the ball, but they had a lot of turnovers. And the LSU tight end lost his shoe. The Florida corner grabbed his shoe and chucked it 20 yards down the field. I was like, what are you doing? I watched it live. I'm like, oh, my Lord, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
And it was a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. LSU gets the first down thanks to the dumb penalty. And then they go kick a long 57-yard field goal. Florida comes back. They miss a 51-yarder. Florida now, even if they beat Alabama in the SEC title game, they're probably not going to make the playoff. And I'm going to tell you something. You want to talk about an arrogant coach? I am so pleased that Florida lost to LSU. I know Clover doesn't like LSU. He's an OU fan. He doesn't like LSU. But I'm going to tell you something. I love it when arrogant coaches lose. And Dan Mullen is a very cocky and arrogant coach. Remember, he was wanting everybody to fill the swamp despite COVID. Came to a press conference in a Darth Vader costume. I don't know. There might be a screw loose with that guy. I don't know. He's a really good coach. Don't get me wrong. But Dan Mullen, going into this game, Florida knew they were going to play Alabama. No matter what happened against LSU, they knew they were going to play Alabama in the SEC title game. And Sean McDonough mentioned this, the play-by-play broadcaster on CBS Sports, during the broadcast. He said when they talked to Dan Mullen the night before the LSU-Florida game, he said, even if we lose to LSU, he goes, I feel pretty good about our chances of going into the playoff if we beat Alabama. And Sean McDonough said, really? Really? You would have two losses. And one of those is to A&M, who's right behind you, who wouldn't play in the SEC title game, who would have one less loss than you, and you'd have a bad loss to LSU. And Dan Mullen stood by that. Sean McDonald, national broadcast, was like,
yeah.
And Todd Blackledge was like, yeah, I kind of agree with you, Sean. Here's the arrogance that Florida had. LSU comes in 3-5. Florida's ranked 6th in the country. They're 8-1. Their best receiver wanted to play. Warmed up, wanted to play, and Florida said, you know what, dude? It's We got this. Save yourself for the Alabama game. 6'6", 240-pound wide receiver. Don't think he would have made a difference in this game when LSU's on their backup corners?
Yeah.
So they didn't play him because they thought they could win without him, and that's arrogance. That's arrogance. And then yesterday, Dan Mullen doubled down and called it a football move that is DB threw the shoe 20 yards down the field. He called it a football move. Okay. So I am more than happy LSU beat Florida. And Florida got what they deserved. Unfortunately, not the whole team deserved that, but their coach probably did. And the player that had the boneheaded penalty, I feel sorry for him and somewhat because it's a really, you know, dumb mistake. And he's going to hear about it for the rest of his life, I'm sure, for a while. But that probably cost him a playoff berth, regardless if they beat Alabama. And by the way, they're not going to beat Alabama, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no.
Georgia beat Missouri 49-14. North Carolina put up almost 800 yards of offense. You heard me right. And number 17 beat number 10 Miami 62-26. Coastal Carolina still undefeated. They beat Troy 42-38. Northwestern beat Illinois 28-10. USC came back and beat UCLA 43-38. The special teams coordinator for USC is Bill Snyder's son, Sean. Yeah. And they had a huge kick return that set up the winning score. Iowa beat Wisconsin, and BYU went over San Diego State. And Colorado, their first loss, they used Utah that knocks them out of the Pac-12 title game. And Oklahoma State rolled Baylor 42-3. The Big 12 title football game is this weekend, 11 a.m. at Arlington. It's Oklahoma versus Iowa State. But how about this? If one of the teams can't play, there will be a replacement team chosen, and that next team in line would be the Texas Longhorns.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be a complete bummer? Iowa State gets here finally, and then something pops up with COVID, and they got to pull out, and it's Oklahoma, Texas. That'd make a lot of people vomit, wouldn't it?
Yes. I don't want to see them
play again. I don't either. So hopefully Oklahoma Iowa State will play the Big 12 title game coming up on Saturday. You know, I want to be a good football coach, but not great so I can get fired.
Be great to be not good.
This is crazy stuff.
Or just good, yeah.
This is crazy stuff. Auburn, we said this the other day on the show, you probably shouldn't fire anybody during what is a crazy year with COVID and everything else. But here's one that just really makes you scratch your head. Auburn has fired their head football coach, Gus Malzahn. They announced that yesterday, less than 24 hours after Auburn finished the regular season with a 6-4 record, which is pretty good in the SEC, and after they beat Mississippi State 24-10 on Saturday. Gus Malzahn obviously got fired because he has a bad record, right?
Obviously.
His record's 68-34, which means he wins two out of every three games he plays, and he is in the SEC. He now will get $21.5 million to be fired.
Yes.
Let me repeat that. Gus Malzahn will get $21.5 million, half of which he gets in 30 days.
Yeah.
It's not spread over 20 years. So let's get this straight. A head coach in the SEC had a record of 68-34, and this year didn't fall off the earth, went 6-4, reached the BCS National Championship in his first season in 2013, was in two other New Year's Six bowl games, signed a 7-year extension worth $49 million in December of 2017, a season in which Auburn won 10 games and was in the SEC title game. But it's what you've done for me lately, clearly. Last two seasons finished 5th and 3rd in the SEC West. Another source of consternation was Malzahn's struggles against the top teams in the SEC as Auburn went a combined 8-17 against Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. I have to say, 8-17 against those three programs, that's pretty good, I think. What's more, Auburn was 20-24 against teams that entered the game with a winning record. All that said, Malzahn was one of the few coaches in the SEC who had any success against Alabama's Nick Saban. Since the start of 2013, Nick Saban is 65-6 against SEC opponents. Three of those six losses are to Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
Nick Saban's probably like, dude, they're making it even easier in this conference for me. So Gus Malzahn gets fired, even though I think he still did a pretty decent job. He's going to get $21.5 million. Who are you going to bring in the SEC to compete against Saban? Are you going to bring in Lane Kiffin? Who are you going to bring in? I mean, who do they have in mind to replace Gus Malzahn, who won two-thirds of his games in the SEC and in the division with Alabama and LSU? LSU just had maybe the greatest football team of all time last year. No shame in losing them last year. Alabama's beating people by 15 points a game and putting up 500 yards every game. No shame losing them this year, and any year, for that matter.
Yeah.
And then Georgia's still pretty salty, too. And he went 8-17. It's like, oh, my God. I understand if you're 1-21, maybe. Yeah. 8-17? That's pretty doggone. Honestly, that's not that bad.
No.
So he's gone, but he has 21.5 million reasons to be happy today because he got fired.
That's a good gig, though, right?
You're Isn't like, it, though?
You're gone, but I'm going to give you almost 11 million within the next 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay. No stress of coaching an SEC football team. You're going to give me $11 million in the next 30 days?
Right.
See ya. If you don't want me, then I'll take your money and run.
Exactly. Exactly. Levy Smith, head coach of Illinois, he's out after 5 seasons. They went 2-5 this year. They had to deal with COVID. They're supposed to play 8th game this weekend. Levy Smith, his overall record, 17-39. 10-33 in the Big Ten. Okay, those records aren't great. I get that. He led them to a bowl game last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were turning in the right direction, then COVID hit. I just don't understand it. I mean, who are you going to get to come to Illinois that's a bigger name than Levy Smith? The patience that people have is... And then you're paying these guys all this money during a COVID when you're talking about the school don't have any money. Which, granted, probably your big, rich boosters are the ones paying for it, I hope. Not taxpayer money. But nobody should... I don't think anybody should be fired this year.
No. I saw some talk over the weekend asking, like, is Matt Wells going to be back at Texas Tech? And I'm like, why would they get rid of the guy who's not been there that long? And this year is just not a good year to be doing that. I'm like, how are these even questions with younger coaches
Once again,
like that?
Once again, who are you going to get long? That's much so much better than
him? Yeah, it's just insane to me that there's even talk like that about Matt Wells. Like, Lovie Smith, whatever.
Well, even Tom Herman at Texas.
5 years. And exactly. And
unless you get Urban Meyer, you don't fire Tom Herman.
That, I think that is the only way that Herman would have been gone. I don't think he's going anywhere.
No, anyway, it doesn't sound like. In fact, their AD over the weekend said he's going to be back.
So. Yeah.
Makes sense to me. College basketball over the weekend. KU wins Friday night over Omaha 95-50. KU 6-1. Did not play Sunday because Tarleton State under Billy Gillespie, who used to be head coach of Kentucky, he and Bill Self, really good friends. They were going to come to KU, but that game yesterday was canceled due to COVID within the Tarleton State basketball program. So KU opened their season coming up on Thursday in Big 12 play opener at Texas Tech against the Red Raiders, oddly enough, we were just talking about. And Ochai Agbaji came through after a tough game against Creighton when he was held scoreless. He had 18 points, 4-6 from 3 in the win over Omaha. Bill Self not surprised that Ochai bounced back.
Well, he was aggressive. He looked great. You know, I really felt like he would. He's a good player, and he's played so well, just labored the other day a little bit. But he's aggressive, and his stroke looked great. Looked like a pro jumping up and shooting it. So, you know, he's not going to go 4-6 every game from the beyond, but we need to keep him aggressive like that.
KU will be in action, as we said, at Texas Tech. Pregame 5:30, tip-off 6 o'clock this Thursday on Z96.3 The Lake. K-State men's basketball team bouncing back with a one-point win over Milwaukee. Friday night, 76-75. K-State now 2-4 on the season. They'll open up Big 12 play tomorrow night in Ames at Iowa State at 8 p.m. Bruce Weber, important for his team to bounce back after that really tough loss to Fort Hays.
Just really happy for our players. Obviously, the last two games have been difficult, and we got such a young group. It's a difficult time, not only for K-State basketball, for state of Kansas, for the United States, for the world, dealing with COVID and all the different situations and issues. And, you know, to our guys' credit, they stuck with it. We get down 7-0. We go on a 14-0 run. Just, you know, we made a lot of good reads, a lot of nice plays, made shots. Obviously, we got to get better, and it's just one hard-fought win.
4 second difference, game clock, shot clock. Cunningham on the bounce near midcourt. Goes left side. They space it way out. Cunningham one on one against Dennis. Stops a three. Bang! Cade Cunningham with 9 seconds to go.
Cade Cunningham is only field goal make of the second half against the Shockers of Wichita State, but it was the game winner. That kid is just cool and collected as well. He'd probably be the number one pick in the NBA draft next year. The talented freshman, top recruit, playing at Oklahoma State. And they win. The Cowboys are now 6-0. Wichita State falls to 1-2, 67-64 win. Cunningham, the three-pointer with 9 seconds left to give the Cowboys the W. Wichita State in action tomorrow. Open up conference play at Tulsa at 6 p.m. Number 8, Creighton knocked off Nebraska in the Battle of Nebraska, 98-74 on Friday night. Other top 25 basketball scores from over the weekend of noteworthiness. Missouri knocked off number 6, Illinois, 81-78. And also, Kentucky now 1-4 on the season. They lost to Notre Dame by 1 after being down by as many as 20 or more at halftime. So Kentucky 1-4 for the first time since the 80s. Other noteworthy scores over the weekend, West Virginia rolls number 19 Richmond. West Virginia ranked 11th. They went 87-71, so perhaps West Virginia is for real this year. You know how it is. They start out great, and then they kind of peter out later in the season. But this year they have some offense to go with their defense and rebounding, so that's something to keep an eye on. And Michigan State stays undefeated. They beat Oakland 109-91. So when you look at the Big 12 when it comes to college basketball, I mean, Baylor's number two, but now they've paused for a couple weeks with COVID, so they're not going to play against Texas coming up this week, their Big 12 opener. Number one, Gonzaga's on pause due to COVID. So your top two teams in the country, Gonzaga 1, Baylor 2, are on pause due to COVID. But you look at the rankings, Baylor's 2, KU is 5, West Virginia's 11, Texas is 13, and Texas Tech is 17th. And somebody was trying to tell me the Big 12 is weak. I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know what you're watching. Fort Hays State beat K-State, so the Big 12 is weak. No. K-State's not very good this year. Just because a team in a conference isn't very good doesn't mean the whole conference is bad. When you have five of the top 17 teams in America, and that's half your conference that's ranked in the top 17, your conference is pretty doggone good. I still think the Big 10 might be the best conference in America, but the Big 12 is right on their heels. And maybe they are the best conference in America. We'll find out. West Virginia looks legit so far. We'll see. We've talked about that before. Texas Tech's going to be a tough out. Texas is certainly improved, but can they keep it going? And I think most people know Baylor and KU are legit. So the Big 12 race this year is going to be fun as long as COVID-19 doesn't ruin it. And finally, we finish with this. The Washington Redskins, of course, are no more. They're a Washington football team. Now it might be the Cleveland Indian baseball team. The Cleveland Indians are going to change their nickname. They're moving away from the moniker Indians that is employed for more than 100 years. And that is considered insensitive to indigenous peoples. And so now it's unclear what they'll refer themselves as. They could be the Spiders, which they used to be. But who knows what their name's going to be. But the Cleveland Indians are dropping the Indians from their name. Official announcement supposed to come later this week. Hope you had a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Sports Ticket. We'll talk again tomorrow. John Betts at Kansas Pregame will be our guest tomorrow on the Sports Ticket as we get ready for high school winter sports season. Of course, high school basketball on the radio on both stations tomorrow night. Our schedule posted at ncksports.com. And Wednesday, we plan on being joined by the head coach of the K-State women's basketball team, Jeff Mitty. Thursday, the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Hope you enjoy all the guests that we have on the show week in and week out. And hope you enjoy the Sports Ticket, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.